Mes amis, bienvenue. This is our multicultural, well, is it multicultural? It's our World War One Armistice Day remembrance, special Armistice Day remembrance with Mark Collett from Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I'm on time today. No traffic. Everything was perfect. It's been a joyous day, so I'm very much looking forward to joining you for the hour in a very stress-free way.
Indeed. And I'm on time, too. That's always good. So we have, there's some breaking news about, Israel attacking the Gaza Strip. But the Gazans actually fighting back a bit more effectively than usual. We'll get to that in the second half of the show because it's breaking, and why not have the latest news when it's late? But there was a lot of stuff going on over the weekend in Paris, not too far from your country. We had our respective leaders there. America was represented by the great leader, the fearless Emperor Donald. And yours was represented by that zombie. What's her name? She looks like a zombie.
Ours was represented by Theresa the Witch May, and France was represented by Emmanuel the Cuck Macron, who was fresh from his cringeworthy photo shoot with a load of topless Somalian males.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Haven't you seen those pictures? He's been posing with a group of topless black men. He's done this photo shoot. I don't know what it was in aid of, but the photos are truly cringeworthy. And, you know, it just looks sickening. He's there hugging these topless black sort of youngsters. And he looks so enthusiastic about doing it as well. It's truly cringeworthy.
But we're lucky it wasn't Justin Trudeau because he would have taken off his own shirt.
Yes, indeed he would. And I always, when I saw this, I posted something to my Twitter, actually, which was very telling. It was sort of a photo that juxtaposed the picture of Emmanuel Macron with these young black topless males that he was eager to embrace, with a picture of Trump with some very beautiful women, and a picture of Vladimir Putin equally with some very beautiful women. And you could really see who the real men were. Mm-hmm. And I look at men like Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, and you see that they are real men. They are sort of red-blooded males. But you see people like Macron, and he truly is a cuck. He's going out with that much older woman, isn't he? That he started dating when she was his teacher. And I always thought there was something
mentally.
Yeah, there's always something very mentally suspect about that, because I remember when I was a younger guy, and you would fancy older women, and sometimes you'd end up in a relationships of sorts with an older woman, but you never really considered that woman as anything more than kind of like a fantasy object.
Maggie May from the Rod Stewart song.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't have considered sort of taking her home to your mother or trying to make her your wife. And I always find,
well, especially at an age differential of 26 years, and I believe that's what it is.
No, exactly. It's bizarre. And I think it says something very much about his mentality. And also, I think it says a lot about many of these European leaders. You've got Theresa May, you've got Angela Merkel, you've got Emmanuel Macron. None of these people have got children. They are all childless. And obviously, Macron gave up sort of his virility, his sort of, youthfulness to this sort of older, bizarre-looking woman, because she's very odd, the woman he's with. And I look at those men and those women, and I see something very dark amongst them. You know, they, no wonder they're so sort of eager to flood our countries with these immigrants, because they really have no stake in the future of Europe. Because when Macron's gone, he really doesn't leave a legacy. I mean, obviously he has a political legacy. He's the president of France, but he doesn't have a living legacy. He doesn't have offspring. He doesn't have anyone that he can leave behind as you know, as an heir to his throne, so to speak, but neither does Theresa May. And Theresa May is a particularly ghoulish and vile woman. And you can see the sort of the disdain she has at the thought of Europe remaining white and European. And I think some of this hatred, some of this bitterness can be seen in the fact that these people don't have children. They don't have white offspring. They don't have people that and can carry on.
Don't have offspring at all.
Their name. No. And I think that's something that's a very powerful point. And when the three leaders of the three most powerful nations in Europe, you know, not only in modern day, but historically too, you have Britain, you have Germany, you have France, and none of them have children. I think that's very worrying. And I think that ties those people together and does go some way to explaining their motivations.
It does. And, you know, you mentioned we were mentioning the possibility of a shirtless Trudeau. And of course, the Zio media loves to throw up that picture of Vladimir Putin on his horse. Well, he's shirtless when it's appropriate. He doesn't go shirtless to dance with Somalis. You know, it's when he's riding a horse or perhaps when he's pulling a tiger out of a tar pit to save it. You know, that's he's very appropriate with his wardrobe.
And he's very masculine as well. I don't think he would do anything cringeworthy like that. When you see him around youngsters, I remember seeing him at I think it was a karate competition or some
judo.
Sort of martial arts competition.
Judo. Yeah,
and
he's a judo master.
The youngsters. He was explaining to a youngster who'd done well how he could sort of improve his form. And I thought that was really quite inspirational because no British leaders in sort of recent memory, you know, you've got Gordon Brown, Tony Blair from the Labour Party, you've got David Cameron and Theresa May, they wouldn't have anything in common with young people, let alone active.
Maybe Edward Heath. And to let people in on the secret, Edward Heath, I guess it turned out was a bit of a pedophile.
Well, many of these Westminster politicians are, and there's been a number of, you know, high profile sort of cover-ups that have looked after these MPs and made sure, you know, the police have been complicit in looking after these MPs and making sure their names aren't tarnished when these MPs are doing absolutely hideous things to young boys. One particular MP that's notable is one called Cyril Smith, and this guy was disgusting to look at, absolutely grotesquely obese, and he used to have his way with little boys in his constituency and would sexually abuse dozens of little boys, and the system looked after him. The police covered it up, and anyone that made claims that he'd done anything untoward were brutally silenced by the police. And there's been several cases in the UK where the police, I mean, the UK police are a complete disgrace. No one should have any respect whatsoever for the UK police, as far as I'm concerned.
What's this then? What's all this then?
The UK police should be, you know, when people were held up at the Nuremberg trials or Nazi officers were tried and they said, following orders is no excuse or no defence. Well, following orders should be no defence for these police officers. And if we ever got to power, these police officers should be tried for their crimes against the British people because they have repeatedly covered up sickening abuses against young British children to either protect immigrant minorities or to protect the political elite. And the police officers doing this at the same time are arresting people for burning cardboard boxes or for, you know, leaving a rasher of bacon outside a mosque or saying something rude to someone. And as far as I'm concerned, the British police are an utter, utter disgrace and should be treated with nothing more than contempt.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is we have our fearless leaders and others over in Paris, or we did have them in the Paris over the weekend for these events commemorating the 100th anniversary of the armistice of World War I. And so there's been a renewed focus on World War I. People are taking a look at World War I. And of course, we can look at it and say it was a completely needless war. It was a disastrous war. And I don't have military service myself because I grew up in the era of the Vietnam War and my family was against the war. And I didn't want anything to do with the military, although there was a time in my life where I almost did enlist because the military can help straighten you out. And lots of people go into the military for reasons. Some go in for patriotic reasons, which I might think are misplaced given what I know about who's ruling the country. But the fact of the matter is, even if, you know, if somebody goes in maybe right after 9/11 or at the beginning of World War I because they support their country and they're patriotic, and not everybody is going to be you can't really expect everybody to be making an assessment of whether their leadership is on the right side or not. That would be a very chaotic country to manage. You tend to expect that your population is going to support its leadership. That's, if they don't, it's not a very successful country. But the point I'm getting at is that millions upon millions of young men had volunteered for the military 100 years ago. Some didn't volunteer, some were drafted, but millions and millions went off at the risk of their own life. And even if the whole war was a tragedy, you still have to honor the bravery and the willingness to sacrifice oneself. That's something that really is very special. Now, your most recent video is on kind of a reframing of that bravery of the young man 100 years ago. And it's surprising how rainbow colored it is, isn't it? Are you still with me, Mark? Oh, Mark, if you're still with me, your mute's on.
Can you hear me?
Now I do.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, I was just saying, firstly, I wanted to, agree with you completely on what you had to say there about the bravery and about not disrespecting the people who went to fight in that war, because there was an awful lot of patriotic zeal, and many of the best men that we had went to fight that war. Many of the best signed up enthusiastically and threw themselves into what was one of the most disastrous periods of European history. And looking back on it, we have to commend those people for their bravery. We have to commend those people for signing up so eagerly, because they thought they were doing the right thing. They thought, on the back of the medals, it says the Great War for Civilization, as if they thought they were going away and fighting to preserve civilization, whereas in fact, it was just a very pointless, fratricidal war that only benefited a tiny, tiny minority of people who had financial interests. I mean, really, the reasons behind this war aren't truly understood, because there were so many truly understood by the masses. I mean, obviously historians understand them, but there were so many different intertwining alliances and pacts that drew so many countries into this war. And essentially, it was a war that really benefited no one. And in many cases, most of the large battles in the war, especially in the early years, were fought to gain just a few sort of yards of ground. And men were literally running at machine gun emplacements, being gunned down en masse. It was literally horrific. But the problem is, it was white European men, the best white European men, who were fighting that war. The best white European men eagerly signed up and went to their deaths in a very brave manner. They marched off to war singing songs, and those men should be remembered. However, the sad thing today isn't just that they died in that very pointless and meaningless conflict, and we lost so many wonderful and brave European men, the best of the generation lost. But it's also now that there is a group of very committed liberals and leftists who are going out of their way to misrepresent those men and to paint that war in a very multicultural, in a rainbow colour, if you will, and make out that it wasn't white men that bore the brunt of that war, that in fact people from all over the world were, you know, almost equally represented in the fighting. And that just isn't the case. Now, I am well aware that it was a world war, and it did, that the fire did spread across the entire globe. However, when you look at the statistics, there were over 65 million combatants in that war. And of those 65 million, somewhere between 6 and 8 million were not of European origin, were not white. The vast majority of those, you know, something like, you know, 57 to 59 million of that 65 million were white men. And that's an overwhelming majority.
And I just want to ask for clarification. When we're talking about this 65 million, is this the combatants? I mean, the war was mostly fought on European soil, not entirely, but
yeah.
Was this 65 million in Europe or 65 million across the world?
65 million across the world.
Okay.
It was 65 million across the world. And of that 65 million, somewhere between 6 and 8 million were not white. The vast majority, well, not the vast majority, the largest minority of that group were actually of the Ottoman Empire, 2.85 million were from the Ottoman Empire that fought for the Central Powers. So that's the largest single group of those numbers. But where they're really trying to boost the numbers is they're saying that, you know, these people all fought on the Western Front, which quite simply isn't true. For example, the second largest group after the Ottoman Turks who fought for the Central Powers was the number of Indian combatants that fought as part of the British Imperial troops, the part of the British Empire. And the important thing to note about that is there was about 1.5 million Indians who signed up, but only a million of those left India, and only 140,000 reached the Western Front. Now, they reached the Western Front in 1914, but by 1915, they were withdrawn and redeployed elsewhere in the empire. So there you see straight away that this idea that there was, you know, it was a multicultural force on the Western Front just isn't true. Again, when you talk about Africans, the number gets very, very fuzzy, because historians say, well, there was 2 million Africans who fought in the Second World War. But then they quickly admit that that's made up of not just combatants, but also of labourers, of pot washers, of people who did menial jobs. And you can see the historians are trying to boost the numbers of Africans involved. And this is very worrying, because, again, when you look at the number of Africans involved...
Well,
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Hollett. And what about the Africans in on the Western Front or wherever?
Well, there were very few for a start. For example, there were 80,000 of those 2 million African troops actually fought for the Germans, but they never left Africa. Then the French brought numbers over, but they were very unwelcome, and there was quite a lot of debate whether they should even fight on European soil, and many didn't. Then most of the other Africans never left Africa. I don't believe there were any Africans who were part of the British Empire that fought here in Europe. Now, the vast majority of the British Empire's forces that were recruited overseas that fought in Europe were either Canadians. Mm-hmm. They were from New Zealand, Australia, or South Africa, and they were all white. Now, that made up 1.3 million troops, and they were all of European origin. Now, as well, on top of the Africans, there were 400,000 African-Americans that took part in the Second World War. But again, numbers get sketchy here, because all the historians note that most of these were what are known as support troops, i.e. they were labourers, they were pot washers, bottle washers, you know, they would run errands, but they wouldn't actually be part of the fighting force. And only 200,000 of those were deployed in Europe. And people can always say, well, what about the 800,000 Japanese troops? Well, indeed, 800,000 Japanese troops were allied with the Allied forces, but they never left the Pacific theater of war. The Japanese only entered the First World War to expand their own geopolitical influence, and they were only involved in essentially seizing places they wanted in the Pacific German-owned territories.
Right, they got the
their role in the combat had ended long before the armistice in 1918. Yeah, and all of these things...
Unlike World War II, World War I was actually pretty quiet in East Asia.
Yeah, and when you put all this into perspective, you can see that there's this effort to write these people into the war. For example, the Royal British Legion, who are the people who do the poppy sales here in the UK, they're the sort of leading charity that deals with the poppy appeal, put out a fundraising appeal. I was down at my parents' house, actually, and they always donate to the poppy appeal. And they had the fundraising.
What is the poppy appeal? I don't think we know it in America.
The poppy appeal is, it's money raised by a group called the Royal British Legion, and they sell little poppies that people wear on their lapels to honour the war dead.
Okay.
And basically, the Royal British Legion, they sort of represent, troops, sort of people who served and fought for the country. But the problem is, on this donation pack that my parents had, because I say they donate to the poppy appeal each year, there was pictures on the front, and the pictures on the front were a little girl, two female nurses. So straight away I thought, 50% of the people represented on the front were women. Well, it was actually men that bore the brunt of the war. But then it creeps in, doesn't it? There is a white sailor, and then there is a black infantryman and a Sikh infantryman. So straight away you think, what's this? 66% of the troops on the front of the Royal British Legion's poppy appeal pack for the 100th anniversary of the armistice are not white.
Yeah.
What is this? And this is the Royal British Legion representing British troops, and obviously in my video.
So we're not just being written out of our future, we're being written out of our past.
Exactly. And this is a way that they wish to trim the roots of the Europeans, to sever us from our roots, so we don't remember where we came from. We don't remember what role we had in history. And that's a really, really insidious thing to do, because people who have no roots, people who have no past, have no future. A tree without its roots can't survive. And a people without its roots are easily displaced. And when we're displaced, we are replaced with people who are not of European descent. And all of this is quite an insidious plot, but it goes further, because there's a group called Diversity House that operates in the Kent area down south in the UK. And these people had been given £100,000 grant, well, not exactly, almost £100,000 grant, by the Lottery Heritage Fund, which is like a non-governmental organisation which distributes charitable funds as part of our national lottery, because some of the lottery ticket funding goes towards charitable funds. And they've been given £95,300 to promote this rubbish. And the head of Diversity House, a woman named Christine Locke, she's come out and said that this is important because Africans have Africans have had a stake, always have had a stake in Britain. Now and then they've got a stake in Britain. And it's very important because we need to tackle all the racism that came about because of Brexit. And the way to tackle it is to write Europeans out of their own history.
Well, we're about to go off to the break, but we'll be getting more into this after the break, and also looking at the what's going on in Gaza, which, of course, you can also tie back to World War I. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Thank you, Pat Slattery and Mark Collett. And Mark, I know it's just fiction, but there was a period piece. There was a BBC series from 45 years ago, early 1970s, called Upstairs, Downstairs. And I know that's a bit before your time, but it was, you know, if you're saying it was written in, say, 1970, and it was covering the period of, you know, it was covering the period around World War One. Well, that was very much a living memory back then. And it, I remember one episode, and this would have taken place in the years after World War One, but the young, I guess the niece who was living in the household, and she was a bit of a flapper in the 1920s, had brought she was staging a party and brought in a band of Black American jazz players, and of course none of the servants in the household, they were all depicted as never having seen a Black person before. And the cook asked, do they eat the same food that we do? She didn't know what to cook. Do they even eat this? Do they even eat food? You know what? And it, this wasn't a comedy show. This was a period piece. And really the fact of the matter is that Africans in Britain or other places in Europe would have been quite an oddity in the 20th century. And, you know, I'm not saying that they didn't come. They came, but you would have had people peering out their windows or looking at them from a distance with a great deal of curiosity. It wasn't this kind of multicultural scene that they want us to start believing.
No, of course. And it's very interesting, actually, because you watch old shows like that and they sort of depict it's in a sort of a more realistic fashion, whereas modern shows, it's exactly the opposite. You'll have a Viking longboat and, you know, there'll be a couple of black Vikings, or there'll be a recreation of the Battle of Hastings, and a quarter of the Norman army will be Somalian. It's just ridiculous. But the problem is, as much as we laugh at it, young people see it and it gets into their head. It influences the way that they think. It's very subtle, but when they see these things, they take them as real. They see them as a reality, whereas in fact, they're not a reality at all. They're just complete fantasy dreamt up by these wicked liberals who essentially are doing this to slowly and very effectively, I might add, brainwash young white people into believing that history was very multicultural, very liberal, and that all forms of degeneracy are not just normal, but they're also natural and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, and not just, we're not just talking about people's ethnicities or racial characteristics, but you can imagine that they're going to be portraying transgender people as having been common and accepted in the past. I think that's
where it'll be transgenders and homosexuals. You'll pretty soon you'll have sort of reenactments of Victorian England, and there'll be homosexual couples walking down the street with their children, and that'll be seen as, you know, oh, that was just part and parcel of Victorian life when it wasn't, you know, and all of these things which are absolute attacks upon the family unit will be completely normalized in every way, so that as far as the next generation will be concerned, there is no such thing as a traditional family. There is no such thing as a, you know, mum, dad and children. You know, it's just a complete free-for-all. And once you've destroyed the family unit, once you've destroyed the very bedrock of society, that's it. Society are done. Society are finished. You know, we as a people will be finished, because you'll have absolute chaos. And once children don't have proper families, once children don't have mums and dads, once they don't have disciplinarians in the home, these children will be so lost, so impressionable, they'll cling to anything. And when I say cling to anything, you know, obviously they will cling to absolutely horrendous role models, which will be thrust upon them by this horrible, decadent, materialistic, hedonistic system in which we live.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'd like to shift gears for a bit. What we've been talking about is very important and very topical. There has been for, I guess, some months and really for some decades, there's never really been that much of a lull, but Israel has embarked on this slow but steady project to completely ethnically cleanse ever expanding swath of territory in the middle of the Middle East for their own people. And there's this area called the Gaza Strip. It's about 300 square kilometers, 130 or so square miles. It's about double the size of the District of Columbia, you know, Washington, D.C. It's about double its size and a bit more than double its population, I believe. So it's very urban. I mean, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you know it's a city. There's not a whole lot. There's a couple of big parks or two, but that's it. And this is what the Gaza Strip is. So, and it's a strip. It's along the coastline, and it's relatively narrow. And so you're talking about a very small space, and it's fenced in. There is, and to the extent that they have that long beach, their fishing boats aren't allowed to go more than a couple miles offshore. The Israeli Navy keeps them from going straying far from the beach. So we've had all sorts of atrocities going on. So it's whenever you're talking about this, it's really hard to find a place to start, because it's just been going on and on. But over the past few days, there's been a bigger flare-up, and you did have Israeli commandos going into Gaza and assassinating some leaders of the Gaza Strip, which has for the past 12 years or so been ruled by Hamas, the Hamas movement, which originally was a terrorist group that was supported by Israel as an alternative to the PLO, which had a lot of international acceptance. But we don't have to go too far back into history. But they went in, and in response, there has been rocket fire from Gaza of the type that we really haven't seen before. More sophisticated rockets, which are actually inflicting a little bit of harm and pain on Israel. And so now we can expect a massive retaliation. You know, one wonders sometimes why the leadership of Gaza, and it's not always the leadership. Sometimes it's people who are operating independently of the leadership of Gaza who try to retaliate. But you wonder, anything that the Gazans do in their own defense is then greeted with massive Israeli military power, high-tech military power, and then the United States and Britain giving Israel all sorts of praise and diplomatic cover. I wanted to get that out there, and there are so many events going on right now, and I haven't really been covering Gaza or Israel, well, certainly not Gaza, particularly closely over the past many months. But I wanted to get it out there. Have you heard anything in Britain? Are British leaders making comments about this, or is the British press paying any attention to it?
No, things like this are usually completely swept under the carpet here in the UK. It's quite interesting, really. I mean, I'm just looking, as you were talking about it, I'm just flicking through the latest news items in the UK press, and I can't see any mention of it whatsoever.
Yeah, so Israel gets free rein, and, you know, all of our listeners know about this. It's not news to anybody, but yet we're very likely to have another bloodbath, and this is what happens every few years or so. There seems to be some giant bloodbath. I think there was one in 2005, and then maybe another one in 2006. But Hezbollah in Lebanon came effectively to Gaza's defense. And that led to a massive Israeli airstrike and, sea strike on Lebanon, which killed massive numbers of people. But at least Hezbollah is able to inflict real damage on Israel, the Israeli military, not so much on the Israeli civilian population. And then, of course, in very end of 2008, beginning of 2009, while Obama was having his inauguration, the Israelis were just engaged in this massive bloodbath against Gaza, which is almost defenseless. And, you know, it's been periodic, and Hamas in Gaza used to have at least, you know, they had these homemade rockets, and then they lost the ability to make the homemade rockets, and lately it's just been they've been flying kites and children's balloons, hoping that the wind will take them over an Israeli farm, and the kites or balloons are on fire, or they have the ability to light on fire, and they're, you know, it's just so pathetic that they're basically using they were reduced to using children's toys in some sort of absolutely futile effort. And you wonder what's the point. But on the other hand, if you're a man and are you, even if especially if the situation is hopeless, then are you not going to stand up and go down fighting? What do you think, Mark?
I think this is a really difficult sort of thing to assess. I think that the situation in Gaza, I think if this was happening anywhere else in the world, and quite specifically if white people were doing this to another racial group, that would be absolute right.
We get blamed for it, even though it's not us.
No. This is Jews. I mean, when you look at obviously there'd been serious fighting in the Balkans for many years, and you saw quite a few atrocities carried out by numerous sides. And I think that the British and the Americans were very, very eager to see people prosecuted, were very eager to see people dragged before The Hague, to see people tried. And I think in those cases, it was quite heavy-handed. And I think there'd been issues on both sides, really. And I think there was some very unfair treatment, especially of the Serbs. Mm-hmm. However, what's going on in Gaza and what has been going on there for decades is far worse than what was seen in Eastern Europe. Yet no one's talking about it. And there's certainly not being anyone, no one's being dragged in front of The Hague, and no one's being prosecuted for war crimes. In fact, the idea that there would even be sanctions placed against Israel for their treatment of the Palestinian people would be something that would be heavily blocked by the US and probably by certain European countries as well. And when you look at this behavior, when you look at the way the media doesn't really like to cover it, the way the media always treats Israel with such kid gloves, you can see that there is essentially a global conspiracy. I know we don't like to use the word conspiracy because when you use that, people tar you with a certain brush. But there is a global conspiracy to actually ensure that people don't talk about this, to ensure that this isn't brought up, that people don't know the true horrors of what goes on there. Occasionally things break through into the press. There was the case where those little boys who were playing football on the beach were literally blown to pieces. Now, that was obviously some very, very sick individuals who did it's a horrific act, targeting children playing football on the beach. But these people will never be brought before an international court, and we know that they won't be punished in Israel. In fact, in Israel, some people will probably regard them as heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
it is a very sick and sad situation, but it does highlight very effectively just how much power these people have and how overrepresented they are in the media and how they use their power in the media to paint such a warped view of what's really going on in that area of the world.
Mm-hmm. So for myself included, I've been following this for decades, and sometimes I just reach the point of saturation and fatigue. I even get tired of hearing about it and tired of having to care about it. But it's absolutely the most sadistic thing that's going on in our lifetimes. What the Israelis are doing to Palestinians in general, but Gaza in particular, you can't describe it as anything other than sadistic. And the modus operandi is the Israelis, they feel that they can, that anything that the Israelis themselves do is retaliation. That nothing they do can be considered an attack or an offense. Everything is retaliation. Well, you've got this conflict that's been going on for over 70 years. And how can you just say that only one side is retaliating, that nothing that the other side did had anything to do with the past, anything? And of course, what the Israelis do is just so massively sadistic, and they have control over the situation. They have virtually complete control. I say virtually complete. Hamas goes through years-long ceasefires, unilateral ceasefires, where they won't attack, they won't respond, they won't retaliate. Yet the Israelis think that they are obligated to protect Israel from anybody in the Gaza Strip who would lash out in any way, who would try to retaliate in any way. And as soon as somebody sends over a homemade rocket, you know, Israeli air force bombing Hamas. Well, anyway, we'll be back after.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And so these orgies of violence, of Israeli violence against Gazans in particular, against other people too, flare up from time to time. Normally, it seems that the Israelis can just get away with anything and nobody looks, and people like myself even get fatigued having to follow it. But there are times when it really starts to become an embarrassment because people are noticing what's going on, and then you'll get high-profile Jews, for instance, who will in the diaspora and even in Israel, who will speak out against the Israeli atrocities. It's almost as if they're trying to say, "Hey guys, tone it down a bit. We got a good thing going on. Don't spoil it." Is it possible that the Israelis will ever go too far, or have our people just become so jaded that no matter how far they go, they're going to get a pass?
I don't know. I think the biggest threat, well, the two biggest threats to Israeli and Jewish power actually come from quite interesting sources. The first is from the Muslim immigrants that they've welcomed into the West. Because you've got to remember, Israel only survives because of Western support, Western aid. He couldn't, it's basically a welfare queen. It's a huge welfare queen. It survives off American aid. Now, as the Islamic influence grows across Western nations, you will see increasing pressure for sanctions against Israel and also against the Zio media. Secondly, the left, who are virulently multicultural, actually want to hold Israel to the same standards that the West is held to in terms of multiculturalism. And it's very, very interesting to see white leftists, and leftists of other colours, for that matter, actually rounding against Israel and saying that we need open borders for Israel, that Israel isn't doing its bit, Israel isn't taking refugees, that Israel is treating people unfairly. And I think this really goes to show the sort of short-sightedness of the Zio elite in their sort of desire to caused so much damage to the West, they have actually sowed the seeds of their own destruction. And that destruction is coming from two very, very interesting sides, sides that they haven't previously been wary of, the immigrants they've brought in and the left-wing movements that they have been so eager to fund and so eager to grow. And those left-wing movements that are swelled with the ranks of brainwashed young whites, well, they are becoming a problem for the Zio elite.
Yeah, and these, especially the non-whites on the left, look at Israel as just another white imperialist country that naturally you hate because you hate white countries. And so you're going to hate Israel the same way. And so then what about the non-Jewish whites who are on the left? What's going to happen with them? Well, I think we might have to discuss that in another show. I think we're getting close to the end. But Mark, where do we see you on Wednesday?
You see me on my channel this week on the alt-right. I'm looking forward to being there, and I'm looking forward to hosting you as well, Patrick. So I will see you then, and have a good evening.
Thank you. So Mark Collett's YouTube channel, that's where you find This Week in the Alt-Right, and it's also where you find his excellent videos. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.